In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. St. Luke tells us, Martha, burdened with much serving. The only thing you want to say to somebody in that situation, to be honest, is, whose fault is that? Really, if Martha chooses to make so many things for our Lord, whose fault is that? And therefore, her complaining about it is inappropriate, an indication that her charity was not actually directed towards Christ, but directed towards making herself feel good about what she is doing for Christ. Some of the fathers of the church, in commenting on this passage, say that one dish would have been sufficient for the Christ. And therefore, her mindset should have been that that's all she needs to do because she should want to sit and listen to him as Mary. But the church also observes that some people are not capable of living that kind of contemplative life. Tradition has subscribed to this as the gospel is informing us the two vocations for women, being wives who are at service or being religious who live a life of contemplation. And it makes sense. Clearly, though, not everyone is called to Mary's portion. Which is the better portion? Spending a life in contemplation at the foot of the Christ. More are going to be called to the life of Martha, being wives and mothers who die to themselves in service to their families in a way that the world does not like or enjoy. The world wants women out of the house. The world wants women being able to tell their husbands what to do, how to think, how to dress, how to feel. And we know the order that God has established is one of headship because it mirrors the reality of the Holy Trinity, not because God is sexist. For our purposes, though, let us consider the reality of the fact that Jesus doesn't say that Martha is doing a bad thing. In fact, he implies that what she is doing is good, because he says that what Mary has chosen is better. So it's not that one should never be busy about things. Nothing would get done if we lived in a world filled with contemplatives. Nothing would get done. There are those that should do the work. The key is how you direct the work. And the way you can tell the work is directed towards God is that all of the efforts put into the work, say preparing the meal, you'd be humming, you'd be singing. In other words, you'd be filled with joy because grace would be flowing through your charitable act, your charity towards Christ, and he would in turn give you the grace to realize why you're doing it, so you would not know anxiety. You would not know any kind of frustration. You would simply be filled with joy. And we can argue that's easy to say if you're actually serving Christ in your house. But remember, for a wife and a mother, you are serving Christ by serving your husband and your children. Again, not popular. Modern women bristle at the notion. Wives, be submissive to your husbands in all things, as Scripture says. Modern women bristle at the idea of giving of themselves in home life and actually having more than 1.2 children. But that's because they have subscribed to the false charity of the devil, which is really about love of self, love of comfort, love of convenience. But when it is love of God, it is that which is of the Holy Trinity itself. Love begets love. The Father begets the Son. The Holy Spirit is spirated from the love between the Father and the Son. He spirates from it. Love always begets love. The human family is supposed to mirror the Holy Trinity, not the world. And certainly not the self-centered plans of the devil. And so all you need to do is think about the reality of that kind of service. Because it would apply universally to men who work, men who have an employer. They should recognize that the busyness they must do is joyful if it's done for Christ. That is to say, to honor God, to give to God, back to God, the gifts he has given you, the abilities that you have, the cleverness that you possess, the mechanical mindset with the hands and the muscles and muscle memory, all that is a gift from God, so you use it well. Not for money, as the devil would suggest, because that will disappoint you in the end. Not for a sense of aggrandizement, because that too will disappoint you in the end. And not for the sake of just family, because oftentimes family doesn't appreciate how hard you work. And sometimes mothers who are Martha-esque and are burdened by the work of their children are the first to be mad at their husbands because they get to spend the day outside the house instead of appreciating the work that was done there. And the reverse can occur, where the man doesn't appreciate the work that his wife has done in the house. But you see, when charity is driven towards Christ on both parts in married life, suddenly the other becomes more important. Not their feelings. Get out of that silliness of trying to manage each other's emotions, because that's the work of Satan. What you're supposed to be doing, because sometimes when you do what's right, you're directing someone towards the greatest good, which is God, and emotionally they won't like it. Emotionally they will bristle. And if you're one of those emotion managers, you'll back off because you don't want them to be offended. That, of course, is love of self, not love of God. But if you love God first, then you want what's best for the beloved, because you cannot love without God. And then you're willing to cross them when they're living in sin. But you're also willing to encourage them when they find themselves discouraged. And a realistic application of goodness, not a patronizing or emotion-managing dynamic. You see, things are completely different for us if we are directing everything, even the most mundane task, towards God. That is why our Lord is correcting Martha. Had she been directing the work she was doing towards Christ himself, she would have only been filled with joy at the fact that she wanted to do so much good for him. But because she was probably more consider of her own feelings and trying to impress him or trying to feel good about herself doing things for him, she got nervous, anxious, and then for some reason she takes it out on Mary. She takes it out on Mary, and she comes to, because this is what happens when pride takes over, she's actually going to Christ, the head of the church, and she's directing Christ on what he needs to do. Which, by the way, is what wives are doing when they command and dictate to their husbands, who are in the place of the head of their families, in imitation of Christ, the head of the church. She tells Christ, "Tell Mary to help me." She lost all charity because she was doing it for herself. She wasn't doing it for Christ. But if you and I do things for Christ, again, even the most mundane, ordinary task, we find great joy in it. It doesn't mean that if the task is challenging, that we have a big smile on our face. But it means we're going to complete what we've started for the glory of God, even if it requires blood, sweat, and tears. We're going to accomplish the goal, not simply because it satisfies us, because that could be a problem if that's all we're going for, but because it is glorification of God when we do so, when we use the abilities, the capacities he's given us. And then everything else falls into place with the rest of charity. If it's directed towards Christ first, you actually have an interior joy that no frustration and no difficulty can break. And again, it doesn't mean your emotions reflect that, but it simply means in the inner recesses of your heart, you're simply dealing with it and you're going forward. You're not whining and complaining. You're not telling everybody how bad it is. You're not doing the old passive-aggressive sighing, hoping somebody's going to pay attention to your sighing so they'll notice how bad things are for you, so that you can say how bad things are for you, and then you can feel better about yourself. If you're doing it for Christ, you're willing to do it, and you're willing to take the burdens that come from it, especially in married life, especially as a wife and a mother. Because in this line, with regards to the reality of the love begetting love, and love always being open to more, as the church teaches in her great allocution, which we read to every couple we prepare for marriage, love makes sacrifice bearable. And without love, sacrifice is only a burden. Hence, you sigh you're frustrated. And that's how you can tell if you're really doing something out of love. Because if you are, it's quite bearable. If you're doing it for love of self, it's nothing but a burden. In this case, Martha was on the right course, doing nice things for our Lord, but was she really doing it for the Lord since she, for some reason, started attacking Mary? Was she doing it for herself? Gauge your own life, engage your own actions, and consider the reality of how there are times where you take it out on other people when things aren't going the way you want them. If you are charitable, if you are aware of the reality, Deus caritas est, God is love, then you know in those moments all you need do is call out to the Lord for the graces to be charitable as you ought. And He'll give them to you in that second. And then suddenly you'll be in control of the reality of the situation, and you won't become a burden for those you love, but a joy. Because in the end, that's what wives and husbands are supposed to be for each other, a joy. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.